Let's open our Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. We are in the middle of a section of this book that is parenthetical, in that it is telling the story outside of what is actually happening. The earth is in the midst of tribulation, and God is pouring out His wrath and His judgment upon mankind. And John is telling us some of the other things that are going on. We're in the last half of the tribulation period, and things are ramping up. It is getting fearful. Men are they know that God is judging them. They are fully aware of what is happening. And instead of that turning them to repentance, it hardens their hearts. And they are getting to the place where they are defying God and His judgment. And we saw last week the two witnesses and their ministry, and that will last for 3.5 years through the second part of the tribulation. And now we turn to the 12th chapter, and it is another sign. If you'll look at verse 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven." The King James translators put a little footnote beside that word wonder, and they said that this was another sign. And there appeared a great sign in heaven. Another picture for John to see. Now, this chapter is very important, and I will explain to you its importance in just a few minutes. But let's look at this chapter. Let's read it and get familiar with what's in it. In verse 1, it said, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head." Upon his heads, plural. "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, And the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Christ. All right, let's pray. And then we're going to look at chapter 12. And I'm going to entitle our study tonight, The War in Heaven. The War in Heaven. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon us. I pray you'll help me as I teach this tonight. And Father, I pray that you will help each one of us as we listen to get the point and to see what John is describing here. And Father, we stand in awe of your word, and I pray that you will help us tonight to tie scripture with scripture and to realize that your word is one bond, it's one revelation, it's one truth, all connected, all tied together by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So bless us tonight as we study the word, and may we grow by what we hear. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The history of our world is the history of wars and of conquest. If you were to take out of the history books all the chapters on all the wars that have been fought throughout history, you could probably read the world's history in a short period of time. But our history for forever has just been the history of conflict and war. The Bible, and I want you to see this. To be honest with you, we may not get out of the introduction tonight, but that's all right. We'll pick it up next week. The history of the Bible. And by the way, that word history, break it down. History is his story. His story. The history of the Bible is also a history of war and conflict. from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the last book of the Bible, Revelation, we find a record of a great conflict between two forces. The force of right and the force of evil. And you could literally break the Bible down and put all the Bible's history into that conflict. The battle is between God and Satan. It's between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And it's been raging now, literally raging, for 6,000 years. And I believe with all my heart that we are getting closer and closer to the final battle, which will result in victory for the seed of the woman to finally defeat and judge the great enemy of mankind, Satan. We're getting closer and closer. What you're seeing happening right now all across this world is the result of this struggle between God and the devil. Let me remind you that the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means, dear friend, that your enemy is not a human being. You say, "But Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said about me." No, I don't, but I know what the Bible says, and Paul said very clearly that your enemy is not flesh and blood. Your enemy is not that person that has gossiped about you. Your enemy is not that person that has done you wrong. All of that is just an outflowing of the real drama, which is God versus Satan, Satan versus God. All right, so this conflict has been going on for as long as man has been on the planet. It started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and his sin against God. This warfare, this conflict, this struggle in which all the rest of the world's conflicts are just the result of, began at the dawn of human history, immediately after man had broken with his God and turned around and gave allegiance to the enemy of God, the devil. And this war was declared by God himself in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam sinned, you remember, he heard God coming and he went and hid himself in the garden. And God called out, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam said, "Well, we hid ourselves. We heard you coming and we hid." "Well, why would you hide? Why would you not want a fellowship with me?" And he didn't want a fellowship with God because he had disobeyed God. He had sinned against God. You say, "Well, why wouldn't Adam want a fellowship with God?" Same reason you don't want a fellowship with God. Sin. It's the same principle. And so God came and looking for Adam, and then Adam blamed his sin on Eve. Remember that? And then Eve blamed it on the devil. And that's when God declared war. He declared right then and there. The Almighty declared the first war in history, and that conflict has been raging ever since. David, the psalmist, says of God, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. After man had sinned and God had pronounced the curse and the sentence upon the sinner, God turned to the serpent, to the devil. And he said in chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This was the beginning of the conflict, the battle of all the ages, in which Satan seeks to thwart the purpose of God, where Satan seeks to set up a false kingdom on this earth, of which he is the king, he is the Lord, and in which the devil seeks to prepare a false church that will persecute the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is well to recognize that behind all the wars of men and of nations is the great spiritual battle between sin and righteousness, the battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, what we have here in this 12th chapter is a description. The Lord, remember now, this is the revelation, the unveiling. That's what the word revelation means, unveiling. And God is, the Lord is unveiling for John what's going to happen in the last days. And what we have here in Revelation 12 is a description of the end of this conflict that started in the Garden of Eden. That's what's being described here. Now, you remember back in 2010, I took about a year and 3 months, and every Wednesday night, we went back into the Old Testament and we looked at prophecies that are in the Old Testament concerning the second coming of Christ. There are hundreds of them, hundreds of prophecies. And I taught you then that let me just have you go back to Genesis 3 real quick. Just go back to Genesis 3. Let me make this point and then I'll continue. Genesis 3, look at verse 15. God is talking to the devil here and he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it, the enmity, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." All right, now I made the point to you back several years ago, but I need to make it again tonight. If you will look carefully at what God is promising here, what God is saying here, God is telling us of two advents, two appearings, two comings of the enmity. All right? "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The first advent of our Lord, we know, because we have Bible history here to prove it to us, the first coming, the first advent of our Lord was 2,000 years ago when he was born in Bethlehem's manger. All right, now, what happened when he came? Well, he willingly went to the cross and died. Now, the key word there, the operative word is willingly. Now, you remember, he told the Pharisees one day, "No man takes my life." He said, "Now, I will lay it down, but you're not going to take it." And you'll remember, the devil tried to take it on a number of occasions. You remember, for example, Herod sent his soldiers down to Bethlehem to kill all the babies in Bethlehem 2 years old and under. Why? Trying to kill the Redeemer before he could make it to the cross. That's why. And you'll remember that that they were in Nazareth, and those of you that have been to the Holy Land with us, you remember that when you're at Megiddo and you're looking across the valley of Megiddo towards Nazareth that sat up on the hill, there was this big stone face, this big rock that came out, and Nazareth sits right up on top of that outcropping. And that was the place where the Lord was standing looking over the valley, no doubt reflecting on the final conflict, the final battle. And he's standing there, and the people press against him, and they sought to push him off. They had him backed up to the edge, and they sought just to push him off. And he passed through them as if they weren't even there. Why? Because he came to die, but not the death of being pushed off a cliff. He came to die on the cross. He had to pay the penalty of our sin. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, the law said. So he had to die the right way. It's not enough just to die. He had to die on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin. So you have two advents in this 15th verse. It shall bruise, the enmity shall bruise thy head, and thou, the devil, shalt bruise his heel. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, they took a nail and they drove it through his feet. It will crush. That's the Hebrew word, they tell me. Thou shalt crush his heel, but he will crush the devil's head. Now, folks, we all know that a blow to the head is a death blow. But a blow to the heel is not a death blow. You say, but he died. Yes, but he resurrected. All right, so you've got the first advent in the second phrase, but then you've got the second advent in the first phrase, because the devil's head has not yet been crushed. But going back now to 2010, we spent all of those Wednesday nights looking at all these promises in the Old Testament scriptures about the second coming. Now, we looked at a lot of the prophecies about the first coming, and we saw that these Old Testament prophets told us when he would be born, where he would be born. They told us the tribe from which he would be born. They told us that a virgin would give birth to him. I mean, everything was prophesied, and every one of those prophecies came true. Now, for every one prophecy about the first advent, there are three about the second advent. And in other words, the majority of the Old Testament scriptures have to do with the second coming of Christ. And so if they're not fulfilled, we don't have anything to trust. And so what this 12th chapter is doing is showing John that all of those promises about the second coming and the struggle and the battle and the conflict and the war of the ages, John, hang in there. I know it's like the Lord is saying, John, I know you're distraught. You're looking at the earth and mankind, and you're seeing all this judgment and all this tribulation, and you're seeing the Antichrist killing people because they won't bow to him. And for the testimony of Christ, people are dying, and you're seeing bloodshed, and you're seeing the heavens change, and you're seeing weather change, and you're seeing day and night change, and you're seeing man rebel against God. John, don't get discouraged. Let me give you a little sign here. Let me show you something. John, just hang in there a little bit. Everything that was prophesied and everything that was promised is going to come true. Let me show you how. And that's the 12th chapter. You understand that? All right, so here we see a description of the end of this conflict. Since the Garden of Eden, this conflict has been raging. Nation has risen up against nation. Men have sought to conquer and to control other men. Nation has risen up against nation. One people has seen themselves as superior to another people. And folks, let's be honest, millions have died in vain. Why? Because of sin. Because of sin. Millions have died in vain out of hatred, out of racism, out of religious intolerance, out of pride, and by being led to slaughter, to the slaughter by the devil's evil influence. And as we turn to the Bible, the beginning of this war is recorded in the scripture in Genesis 3. And so is the final battle of this war. It's recorded in scripture. It's called the Battle of Armageddon. And it is recorded in Revelation 19. In Genesis 3, which we have studied thoroughly, the conflict begins. But the end of the conflict is pictured for us and pictured for John right here in Revelation 12. All right, does that make sense to everybody? You know, I know that if I did this, there would be no end to it, but I almost feel like stopping and just saying, okay, ask your questions. All right? But there would be no stopping it. So I'm not going to do that. But you need to see that John, just picture yourself as John. Just imagine that you have seen all this. You saw the rapture, and you saw the Lord Jesus in heaven with the scroll, with the little book in his hand, and you saw the Antichrist rise up, and you saw drought and famine and pestilence and disease, and you saw all this chaos. I mean, just total chaos on the earth. and you saw people dying, and you saw people being beheaded by the Antichrist and by his henchmen, by his army, and you saw the 144,000 leading people to Christ and preaching the gospel, and then the Antichrist coming along right behind them and killing them, and you've witnessed all this, and you're standing there, and you're only at the midway point of the tribulation. Would you not be just blown away if you were John? Would you not be standing there going, okay, Lord, you'd be like these that we read about a few chapters earlier. How long, oh Lord? How long? How long does this have to go on? And so to ease John's condition, he gets a sign from heaven as if to say, it's okay, I'm in complete control. And folks, he is in complete control. You know, liberals go around trying to prop God up. God doesn't need propped up. God's in good shape tonight. God's in good shape tonight. All right? So, this parenthetical chapter shows us this conflict. Now, look at your Bible. There's a couple of principal characters that are revealed here. We have a woman. We have a child, a man, male child. And we have a dragon. Now, notice the woman gave birth to the male child. And when this male child was born, there was a dragon who hated the child, hated the child. Even before the child was born, he hated the child. He knew that the child was coming, and he hated the child. He knew this child was the promised seed who was to crush his head. So he's going to do everything he can to stop this child. But miraculously, God spared the child and then caused him to ascend into heaven. And while the child, verses 1 to 6, look at it now, think of this. While the child was safe in heaven, the dragon turned his hatred and anger upon the woman who gave birth to the child, but was unable to destroy her because God also miraculously protected and spared her. All right? Now, what is God showing us here? Well, these short 17 verses are an overall view of the entire history of mankind from the Garden of Eden to the return of Christ to the earth. It is an overall view. Notice in verse 1, John said he saw a great wonder in heaven. I think that this is implying something miraculous. It was not normal. It was not natural. What John saw here was supernatural. And folks, is that not what salvation is? It is God intervening in the affairs of mankind. You see, you and I can't save ourselves. We need a Redeemer. And so John said that he saw a great wonder in heaven. There was something supernatural about this woman and about her child and about her deliverance from the power and strength of this dragon. All right, now, if you hadn't already figured it out, the woman in this chapter is Israel, the nation, the people, the Jews. All right, so the woman is the nation of Israel. If you will go back in your memory banks to the book of Genesis, you will recall that Joseph, in his dream, Saul, the sun, the moon, and the stars all bowing down to worship him. Remember that? And when he told his brothers about it, they got angry. What, are we going to bow and worship you? Well, this was a prophetic picture which pointed to Joseph's exaltation in Egypt after he was sold by his brethren. But not only was it a picture of Joseph's exaltation, but it was a picture of the nation of Israel. For Joseph was here both a type of Christ and a type of Israel. As Joseph was sold into the hands of Gentiles, so too was Israel. You remember Daniel and the Babylonians and the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, all Gentiles. And they came along and ruled, conquered, and ruled Israel and carried the Jews away, scattering them into the known world. A scattered Israel has been persecuted by Satan through this, through his ancient and his modern pharaohs, who, inspired by race hatred, have done their best to wipe the Jews off the face of the planet. It's been going on for thousands of years, folks. Adolf Hitler did it. In our generation, whole Middle East is out to destroy them, even tonight as we speak. Israel is the woman who has brought forth the male child who was chosen and destined to rule the nations of the devil's domain with a rod of iron in verse 5. So in verse 1, we read the woman was clothed with the sun. Malachi, in speaking of Israel's Redeemer, tells us that he is the sun, S-U-N, son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Only of Israel can it be said that she brought forth the Redeemer. All right, so that's the woman. Who is the man-child in verse 5? The man-child, of course, is Christ. The man-child has a primary interpretation, but it also has a secondary application. By primary interpretation, I mean that this child is none other than the Lord Jesus. This is the Lord Jesus. He is the object of Satan's hatred, and the devil seeks to destroy him. Let me remind you that the devil launched his evil attack against the Savior before he was even born. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, because Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, but there was an evil ruler sitting in Rome who made an edict and said that you have to go to the city of your birth to register. You see, they didn't have computers back then. You couldn't get on your iPad and sitting in Nazareth and register in Bethlehem. No, you had to physically go down there and register and sign your name and pay your taxes. Seems a rather harsh law, don't you think? I mean, when the guy running the show owns the whole area, why would you only have to go a couple of 100 miles to pay your taxes? Why couldn't you just get some papyrus, write your name down? I'm from Bethlehem. I live in Nazareth. Here's my taxes. But no, couldn't do that. And there was Mary, 9 months pregnant, had to get on a donkey and go all the way down to Bethlehem. But God protected her. God delivered her. And that did not kill her. And she gave birth exactly the way the Bible said. Then Satan stirred Herod's heart to kill Christ by having him kill all the babies in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and under. But God warned Joseph and Mary, and they were able to escape to Egypt. And then the Pharisees tried time and time and time again to kill him. Why? Keep him off the cross. You see, the dragon, who is the devil, that we haven't got to him yet, but you figured it out, haven't you? The dragon hates the child. The dragon hates the mother. And is going to do everything he can to keep the child off the cross. But the cross was the only way he could die. That was the only way. And when he died, the devil thought he had won. But God intervened and raised him from the dead and brought him to heaven. So that's the primary interpretation. But wait a minute, there is a secondary application to this passage. And that secondary application is for the church. It's for us. It is a promise for you and for me. You say, how so, Pastor? Well, do you not remember that the Lord Jesus told the disciples that his church is his body? Remember that? He said that the church is his body. He said he is the head and the church is the body. So what happened to our head happens to every member of the body. Folks, as the dragon hates the man-child, the devil also hates the church. Go back to Psalm 2 for just a minute. Psalm 2. We're not going to get done. We're not going to get done. That's all right. I'll quit here in a minute and then we'll pick it up here next time. Look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Who's his anointed? Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But notice, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord looks down at the beast and his armies. And he looks over his shoulder, and there's a ready church. There is a ready body, ready to come back with him, ready to fight with him, ready to deliver Israel with him. And he looks down, and he sees the kings of the earth, and he sees the rulers taking counsel against him and against us. And he laughs. He laughs at man's foolishness. You would think that after all of this history, his story, you would think that, you know, somebody said the only thing we ever learn from history is that we don't ever learn anything from history. And you would think that men would learn by now. But no. No. Verse 5. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. All right. Go over to Revelation 19 real quick. Then shall he speak. Now look at Revelation 19. Verse 11, Revelation 19. This is the actual description that John saw of the second coming. And look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, just like they were in chapter 1 when John first saw him. Remember that? His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where did he get those? He got those from us in chapter 4. When we get raptured, go back and read chapter 4 when you get home. We're before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and the crowns are given, and we lay them back at his feet. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, that's us, that's the church, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now watch. Remember the verse I read a moment ago? Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. That's Psalm 2, verse 5. All right, so look at verse 15 of Revelation 19. And out of his, what's the next word? Mouth. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Go back to chapter 2 for just a minute, Revelation 2. This is the letter to Thyatira. Remember the seven letters to the seven churches? Look at verse 20. Let's go to 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So you will see right there in verse 26, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Folks, Paul said the same thing. John said the same thing. And we shall rule and reign with him. I've already asked for Westminster, so y'all will have to have, somebody else can have Frederick if you want, but I want Westminster. I'm going to line this place out. Oh, yeah. I'm going to fix all these stoplights. They're all going to be in sync. When you pull out and go down to the bottom of the hill, you're going to be able to get from here all the way up past the college and not have to stop one time. I'll do that for you. It's just the kind of guy I am. All right? I've already asked for Westminster. Folks, we rule and reign with him. That's the point. So there is a secondary application. All right? And then you have the dragon. The dragon. And the dragon is the devil. He's the devil. And notice that the devil is cast out of heaven. Right towards the end, right near the end, right now he's the accuser of the brethren. Right now, just like he did to Job, he goes up and stands before God and says, that old sinner down there, Larry Haynes? And he said, you know what Larry did the other day? You know, I don't think Larry loves you like he's, and he's always accusing the brethren. You know that old Dave White? Oh, listen, you think that Dave White walks on water. I got news for you. You know what I saw him do the other day? And he's just always accusing the brethren. But here in this chapter, in this 12th chapter, the devil is kicked out. He falls to the earth. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and in Ephesians 6 that he's the prince and power of the air, he's in the heavenlies. But here, John saw him fall to the earth, and he attacks Israel. But God protects Israel, and God delivers Israel. And folks, this is the conflict, and it's drawing now to a close. It's coming down to the end. And John, the Lord said, John, let me show you. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. It's not over yet. Here, let me show you what's going to happen. And he showed him this great big picture. And there was the nation of Israel, and there was Jesus, and there was the dragon. But in the end, the dragon is defeated. Jesus defeats him, and Israel is delivered. What a beautiful picture. Does that make sense to you? All right, well, we're not done, but we got to quit.